Welcome. This is Intentional Attendance. We kicked this off 2 weeks ago on September 29th. Jason taught how to prepare for church. So what are some ways that we can intentionally get our hearts, our minds, our families, and our friends ready to go to church well, to receive the word, and also to encourage and give out as well. So that was 2 weeks ago, and that's going to kind of flavor and be a thread throughout the entire class. So we're going to then kind of dive into a couple different sections. Today we're going to go through investigate. This is week two, investigate, intentionally knowing your church. Next week we'll go into praying, singing, celebrating, engaging, growing, and so on. And there is a schedule there on your handout for you to take home as well and keep track. So we pray it's going to be a blessing for you. So first off, as we just think about this in the introduction here, I just want to say, let's take a moment and just pretend for a moment that you've never been to a Starbucks before in your entire life, which is, I know, an impossible thing. Has anybody actually never been to a Starbucks before? Sometimes there is. Okay, JC, you've never been to a Starbucks. Okay, all right, sounds good. So this is just for you. Okay, that's great. Let's just pretend. Yeah, so we have Starbucks in the room. Pretend for a moment you've never been to one before, but you wanted to try to understand, what is Starbucks all about? Like, what's the thing upon which the Starbucks engine and the gears continue? What do they do? Why do they do it? How do they do it? In what manner do they do it? And what are they communicating in the ways that they do it? Right? How do they make coffee? How do they tick? What do they value? What do they not value? So if you were to walk in the store, right, let's just imagine for a moment, your local Starbucks, the one's closest to you, the one you frequent if you go to Starbucks or another coffee shop if you're anti-Starbucks, and you open the door and you walk in, what are the sort of things that you observe as you walk in that tell you a little bit about what this establishment is about? What are some things? Okay, color schemes. Good. What else?
The smell.
The smell of coffee, right? Tells you something about they make coffee. That's good. Yeah. The menu, yeah. What would the menu tell you?
What's offered.
Good. What's offered? What do they think you should drink? You know, what season is it? I mean, a PSL's on the menu. I know it's fall, right? So, at that point, right? Or white chocolate mocha, you know, for the winter. What else? Are you greeted? Okay. How does greeting tell you something about the culture of the establishment? Good, yeah, whether you're feeling welcomed, she said. Do you feel welcomed? Is it a place where you can come in and it's come and stay? What other things would tell you come and stay?
Seating and chairs.
Seating and chairs, I hear it all. Yeah, so couches, seatings, and chairs, and that kind of stuff, right? Good. What else?
Art.
The art, what they put in the walls, what they value, what kind of art, what kind of artists are in the walls? What kind of cultural statements are being made through that art or through maybe the merchandise, right, that's on the shelves? Okay.
Music,
what are you listening to? Good. So all these senses, right? Is it good quality coffee? Are there pamphlets next to the checkout area that tell you where the coffee is from? Do they care about that kind of stuff? Do they care about the origin of the coffee? Do they care about how it's, you know, roasted, or even the way that it is reaped and sown, right? Cultivated. What country? You know, all those kind of elements as well. What about efficiency? What tells you about efficiency?
How quick I get my coffee.
Good. How quick the ordering process is, right? I'm astounded. Different scenario. I'm astounded by how Chick-fil-A does it. Like, I don't understand that whole concept. One of my friends works for them, and he goes around and he studies the drive-throughs to figure out how to do it efficiently. It's astounding, right? They prize efficiency. They want to get you through, right? Good. Okay, shifting gears. In that kind of little exercise, you're intentionally investigating a coffee shop. You're trying to understand, what are they about? And there's more you could say. You could open up more of the literature, understand, you know, what the mission is. How do they take care of their employees? What do they value from their employees? What do they pay their employees? All these things. You're intentionally investigating in the coffee shop. Now let's shift. You just moved to a new city or town. and you're looking for a new church, right? You're trying to understand what these churches are about. Let's say you walk in a church. Same idea. What sort of things are you looking for? What sort of things do you need to consider? Just throw that out there. What sort of things are you looking for?
Is scripture preached?
Very good. Mike says, is there scripture preached? Awesome. That tells you something about what they prioritize. Is there preaching? Let's start there. Okay, is there preaching or is it something else? Good. Okay, yeah. Double-clicking on preaching, how often do they get into not just the New Testament? Do they preach the whole counsel of God? Very good. What else? Yeah, Travis. It'll come back to you. There it is. What is it?
Right doctrine.
Love it. Biblical theology, right doctrine. Is it sound? Right? Good. What other things?
Who's comprised in the church? Like the age demographics. Like who's in the church?
Very good. Yeah, who's the congregation? What are they like? Good, age demographics. Like, what does that tell you about what they're doing in the church? Right, good, yeah, what else?
Can worship as one body and it's not just like people on stage kind of doing a concert
or something. Okay, yeah, so hitting on a little bit of the, am I there to watch something or am I taking part in the worship experience and worshiping together as one body, like how you said that, that's good. I'm sure we could go on. I think the main point we want to hear from this morning, if you leave with one thing, it's right there on your handout. It's in this vein. So main point, we want to intentionally and thoroughly investigate the local church to understand and discern the body of believers that will shape your life. Intentionally and thoroughly investigate the local church to understand and discern the body of believers that will shape your life. So in the arc of how do we think about going to church intentionally and not just showing up, I think like Jason said, in a passive way where we're just consuming, but intentionally and proactively thinking about church and what place it has in our lives. One way is in the investigation stage. We want to investigate intentionally and thoroughly about the local church. Why? Because it's one of the most important groups of people in your life that are going to shape your lives as they live out the commands of Scripture to one another. Okay, so that's kind of what we're going at. This might feel a little bit different this morning if you've been to Equipping Hour. We're in this class series we talked about, but this one is designed to be like a brief kind of side conversation about how to investigate a church when you go to a new area, but there's tons of applicatory things for us as members of a current church or even members who've been here for quite a while, okay? So we'll hopefully dive into that as we go through the material together. Number two, investigate yourself. So as we think about equipping ourselves for thinking well about this, let's think about investigating ourselves first, right? So I think there's a couple questions we need to ask ourselves before we go into a church and we start asking questions about the church. I think we want to think about first, what are we bringing into that church already? What lenses, if you will, are we putting on that make us look for particular things or skip over other particular things? So question number one, what are you looking for? What's your ideal or standard that you're comparing this particular experience against? Right? Did you grow up in a big church? Is that influence it? Did you grow up in actually a really small church? And does that influence it? Did you grow up in a church where it's more kind of what we call in this culture seeker friendly, right? Did you grow up in a church where you did music one type of way? Or did you grow up in only one denomination your entire life, right? These are the things that shape us, right? Or as you look into the church, we talked about the congregation, when you step in, does the congregation have to look like you? I'm not talking just visually, but also age demographics as well, right? Does it have to be like you? Do you need a body that looks like you? Is that something that you feel most comfortable in? You know, what we talk about, what kind of preaching? Or are you just putting up on a pedestal, maybe a perfect ideal of a church, right, that we always talk about, but really we know there is no perfect church, right? And so we're just holding out as we search and search. Sometimes we make our decisions about church, we just walk in and we go, does it feel right? right? All these ways, I think, some of them good, some of them not so probably good or not as good. They're intended to make us consider what are the things we're bringing into church that we're asking the church to do that maybe we need to just kind of take some stock of and go, is that what we see in Scripture, you know? Or is that really the best, yeah, for me? For example, children's ministry and childcare. Does it have to, you know, does the church have to have that for us? You know, one particular, you know, kind of example, I was, one of the previous churches we were part of, it was a smaller town, and there was only really one church that we found that was really preaching the gospel, and they had no childcare. Man, that was a tough decision. Oh my goodness. And so we chose to commit to that church, but as our kids grew, you know, we started when they were basically zero, and then we left when they were five or six. As the church grew, it was increasingly more difficult, right? Sometimes we would leave and we'd be like, did we even hear anything this morning? Like, was it even, you know, fruitful or beneficial? But we chose to stay because of the gospel and the preaching, and we were willing to sacrifice some of the childcare, right? So just to kind of set that stage, in our membership class, we actually say that the next most important decision that you will ever make following Jesus is actually what church you're going to commit to and what church, what that looks like in whatever context you're in as you move through life, because we move around a lot in this in today's culture. So as you go from place to place to place to place, actually, one of the most important decisions you can ever make is what are you committing to? What sort of body are you committing to? We'd say third is who you're going to marry. So just kind of put that in perspective, right? So it's the people whom you're going to get fed Scripture truth, the people who are going to sanctify you, right? So that's the first question. What are you looking for, and what are you bringing in, okay? Next question is just what are your theological convictions? What things theologically, what spiritual truths do you bring? It's all under investigating yourself. This is a kind of a step deeper. It's kind of a double click into what do you bring into the church, but more of on a spiritual side, right? We come with all theological convictions kind of baked into us, right? As we, especially if you grew up in the church. Sometimes those who did not grow up in the church, but became Christians in adulthood or even as a teen, right? We carry in maybe some biases what the church looks like. Maybe we've been hurt by a church, or maybe in childhood something terrible has happened in the church, and that's kind of marking the church as we go, right? So we have these kind of convictions on both sides, no matter kind of where you are, right? And you just kind of have to ask yourself, where do those things come from? We want to challenge ourselves and go, oh, do we see those things, those theological convictions? We see them in Scripture, right? So again, we're investigating ourselves. Just to use myself as well as an illustration here, in my 20s, I don't know that I ever thought about this. We would go to church and church and church, and again, I just kind of was like, what kind of felt right? I was like, I think I know what it kind of looks like, but I can't really talk about it, right? Like, I know what it doesn't look like, right? In some ways, it was just kind of like, what felt right. Right? But if you were to ask me, like, hey, what is your church? What's in your church's statement of faith? I'd be like, I mean, I think they believe in God, right? Something like that, right? So I was not stewarding that. That well. So here's a diagnostic question, right? Can you convince yourself from Scripture alone, in your own personal life? Let's say you sit down with the Bible, okay, with the Bible and a little app, so you can, you know, do some Scripture reference looks up real quick, right? So a Bible and an app. Could you convince yourself alone of the convictions that you hold dear? Do you find them in Scripture, right? Does Scripture actually have them and substantiate them? Or how do we know which ones are kind of like the ones we're going to hold on to, right, and never let go and go, this is what it means to be Christian? And how are the ones that, you know, maybe would fall into the categories of maybe not so much? For example, childcare. I'm holding on to the gospel. I'm holding on to preaching, but I'm going to let go of maybe childcare. In my personal example is what I was saying. So, yeah. That's what are your theological convictions? So it's just a diagnostic question there. And then third, so then what needs to change in me, right? So if we're not willing to kind of change ourselves by Scripture, then that should be a little bit of an alert to us, right? We walk into a church and we just say, we're going to put up stops, right, in some ways. Now, again, I'm not talking about heresy, but what I am saying is that, like, go to Scripture and conform ourselves to Scripture, right? So what things need to change? Do we see church primarily, what we're trying to get at in this class, in some ways, do we see it primarily as a place to consume? consume things on Sunday mornings? Or do we see it primarily as a service provider? You know, maybe not all that much different from my internet, you know, that I signed up for that, and my bank and that kind of stuff, right? So this are some challenging questions for us to consider. What's the core reason we go, right? Or is it a place to be involved, a place to grow, a place to have relationship, a place to commit, a place to give of myself, a place to sacrifice, a place to commit in covenant to community, a place to live out the one another's, right? A place to be present, a place to be known, a place to be transparent, a place to be honest, a place to know others and to pray over others and be prayed for. Right? I would just propose those are vastly different ways of looking at church, right? Vastly different ways, okay? So just some points of application here for the first, or I guess point number two. One thing you can do, this is a great thing to do if you haven't already, especially before you move, right? But even now, so write out a list. Sit down, just prioritize the list. What would I look for? What am I looking for in a church? What do I feel like the scripture says I should look for in a church? Marrieds, if you're married, write that out together. Or maybe do it a little exercise out separately and come together and go, ooh, like what's the differences, you know? Or if that's a little scary, just write it out together, right? So just start there, right? So, but the point is, be unified in your covenant of marriage on what you're looking for in a church, right? Are you engaged? Are you dating? Consider what the other person thinks about the church. Ask questions about that. Those are important questions. If it is the second most decision, and I'm trying to convince you of that, maybe you don't believe me of that, but if it is the second most important decision you make, then maybe the third most important decision you make should line up with the first and the second, right? So maybe ask that as well, okay? To those of us who are members of this church, maybe we take a few moments and consider, like, what brought you here? What was the thing that brought you here, and what's keeping you here? You know, what brought you here, and what is keeping you here? Might take some time of reflection, you know, maybe today over lunch, and just, you know, kind of get settled in, examine and consider, okay? Okay, so that's number two. Investigate yourself. I think it's a great place to start, because we want to understand, like anything else we do, the assumptions we carry into any situation, right? And same for church. There are things we carry in about how things work or what a church should look like as we think about what church to commit ourselves to. Okay, number three. We're then going to investigate the church, okay? Investigate the church. The first one there is, first, seek the Lord through prayer. Number one, seek the Lord through prayer. You got to ask God to show you. We're not going out and finding a new bank. We're finding a church. And we're supposed to pray in all things, especially in what we think about with church, okay? So can I get somebody to, while I'm talking here and jabbing, can I get a volunteer for Luke 11? Lyle, can I get a volunteer for Ephesians 6? Mike, thank you. So we want to pray. We want to first consider, okay? We want to pray. We want to pray over before. We want to pray as we go. We want to pray after. We want to consider these things together. We want to pray throughout the process, right, as we investigate church and consider, all right? Whether that be, again, we're visiting church in various contexts, or we are committed to one particular church. Lyle, could you read loudly for us Luke 11? It's a full room, so it would be helpful. Thank you. Amen. Can you do Ephesians 6, 18, please?
Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints.
Good. This is a good reminder. There's just no inconvenient time to go to your Heavenly Father and your friend. It's not an inconvenience. There's no inconvenient time. So, especially as we think about investigating church, not only does our Father love it when we ask Him for what we need, He also loves it when we give him things we can't handle, right? And we need help. We need Spirit's wisdom to decide what body to commit to. Remember that our natural inclination, if you're anything like me, and you're anything like me who lives in the United States of America, and if you're anything like me who's in the United States of America, who lives in D.C., and who has a family, and all the, you know, all the things, I'm going to rely, my inclination is to have self-reliance. That's just where I drift. The scriptures say we drift that direction, which means we'll drift from prayer, because prayer is inherently God-dependent. We're self-reliant, and prayer forces us to be God-dependent, right? Cool. One of my favorite pastors says it this way about prayer. The devil recognizes that when we go in prayer, we become supernaturally empowered. And therefore, the only thing he's afraid of is that we would ever get serious about going to him in prayer. He's not too concerned about preaching that is not backed by prayer, or worship that's not prayed out, or witnessing that is not prayed out, because he recognizes, he the devil, that all of the little monsters and creatures that he has and the pitfalls along the journey that we make through life are more than able to swallow us up. Unless, of course, we are taking seriously the matter of prayer. So, we should pray as we go. All right, practical applications. Do you have an upcoming move? Probably somebody in this room does, right? Or maybe it's in a year or so. Pray before the move. I know, right? Crazy. Pray before the move, like 6 months before the move. Ask the Lord to show you, first of all, do we need to go, right? What do I mean by that? Well, consider the move as necessary. Do some research and see if there's a solid church in that area. Consider, if you're going, like for example, this is just one particular example, if you're going to receive, like let's say a promotion in your job and you're just gonna relocate yourself to another area, but that area does not have a healthy local church for you, or for if you have a family, for your family to be in, I'm not saying don't go, and it doesn't mean going it would be wrong, but what I am saying is, if it is the second most important decision for your family and for the good, spiritual good of your family, consider if that promotion is necessary. Or would it be better to stay in a healthy church and not take that promotion? I'll just throw that out there. Like that's, I'm not trying to say, again, that what going would be wrong, but it would be wise to consider, right? Is there a solid local church in that area? And then if we are going, let's pray together. Let's travel to that location and ask the Lord to show us, is there a church in the area, right? Is there a church? Let's visit, let's plan out a few Sundays to visit with some churches, to spend time with them and investigate them before actually picking up and moving, right? Sometimes that's not even, I think, our thought process. I think we move a lot just because of job stuff. And again, jobs are important. We need jobs to be able to provide for family. So don't hear me not saying that. I'm just saying consider it. So marrieds, people married, pray together and be in sync and listen to one another about where the Spirit is moving, about both the move, but also about the church you're going to. If you go and you're now moved, let's say you're going to a new area, on Saturday the night prior, get the family together if you have a family. Pray Saturday night prior before going to church. Say, Lord, show us, is this the place you want us to go? Ask him to move. Ask him to give you clarity. Ask him to give you grace if this is the place to commit. The idea is intentionally setting aside time for prayer. That's the idea, okay? Pray wisely and intentionally. Okay, that's number one. Number two. So, second, soak up the literature. Soak up the literature. It's a weird sentence, I'm sorry. It basically means do your homework. All right, so soak up the literature. What does the church say about itself? When you enter in or when you go, just grab anything and everything you can. All right, that can tell you about what this church is and what it believes. Remember back to that Starbucks example. What can you observe? What can you take? What can you take home with you? What can you read about, right? That can tell you who this church is. So can I get a reader for both these texts? One for 1 Timothy and one for Titus. Levi, thank you. Titus, somebody for Titus. Thank you. As you turn into 1 Timothy, let's go, 1 Timothy 4. Let's just go with 1 Timothy 4, 7 through 8.
Have nothing to do with irreverent, silly
Good. And then let's marry it with Titus 2:1.
But as for you, teach what accords with sound doctrine.
Good. So what are these two texts are saying? One of the things these two texts are saying is that Paul, he's charging Titus on the island of Crete in these texts. Well, Timothy is a different one. But Paul charging Titus on the island of Crete to ensure he is teaching sound doctrine to the church. The Timothy text, right, shows us that we're supposed to have nothing to do with irreverent and silly myths, genealogies. Instead, we should see each other training yourself for godliness. Godliness is of value in every way, right? So in other words, if we take these, we should be seeing sound doctrine in just coming out of the church in multiple different ways, overflowing in the way that it talks about itself, right? So we should see that from different vantage points. Specifically, in this Titus text, the implication is that sound doctrine should be present, right, in the preaching and teaching. It's got to be there. He's saying to Titus, preach according to sound doctrine. So therefore, the church should be preaching sound doctrine. Therefore, then when we go to a church, we should be seeing, hearing, and enjoying, and taking in and feeding on sound biblical doctrine in the preaching and teaching. So investigate whether the foundation of doctrine of that church is sound and solid in its literature and what it provides for you, whatever you can get, right? So you can kind of peek behind the curtain of that Sunday morning gathering when you look at the things that they offer you, like a membership book or even a service guide, that kind of stuff. So you're just grabbing these things as you go in. Another thing to consider is the website, right? The digital front door of almost everything these days, right? So you can almost do all this stuff at home. You just go home, type in that website, right? And just read, what does it put on the website? Or here's a good one, what's actually missing from the website? Right, so if they've got some things that they are saying, is there even a statement of faith? Right, I'm not saying that we shouldn't go to the church, but what I am saying is that's missing from something. Right, so when you go, look for it. Right, as you go. So some things to think about literature-wise: statement of faith, is it present? Is it available to you? Can you know what the church believes? What's in it and what's not in it? Right, do you have access to it? If not, ask the staff or ask the elders the leaders are there. In the statement of faith itself, do you have, you know, core elements? God, scriptures, the gospel, salvation, church, family. What's in, what's out? Do they put in complementarity? Do they put in politics? Do they put in matters of end times? These are all important things to consider as you read about what the church is and isn't. Or number two in this section as well, church covenant. Do they have a church covenant? Do they care about the covenant itself? Okay, what sort of things are you committing to in the covenant? Do they have what's in the Constitution and bylaws? I know that sounds super dry. I'm sorry. Polity is not fun to talk about at all. Well, I kind of like it, but maybe you don't. But, like, congregationalism, it gets me going. But the point is, what is it? Is it elder-led? Is it elder rule? Is it Presbyterian? Or is it congregational? You know, are there synods? Whatever that word is. Is there membership and discipline? I'm just joking. But is there membership and discipline? Right? Is that in the Constitution? That's one of the things I look for when I'm scanning through stuff. Is there a membership and is there a discipline section? Or one of the marks of a healthy church. Do they say creeds? Do they align with Orthodox Christian teaching? Right? Or even newer statements like Chicago Statement of Biblical Inerrancy, things like that, right? And again, you can ask us later if you want like a whole list of these things. Or another thing, service guide. What's communicated to you in the service guide, right? What sort of things does the church value as you flip through that, right? What sort of things are communicated? Do you see events about certain things that tell you what they're all about, right? In teaching sound doctrine, do biblical principles inform how the church thinks about culture and community? Do they advertise or give you literature on the ways that the church thinks about evangelism or even ministry efforts, ministry philosophy, right? Does it talk about, are we a programmatic church or are we kind of more of an organic church? Here's a good one. How about discipleship? There are a million different takes on what discipleship should look like in a local church, right? That's crazy. So you want to understand what that should look like, or what that looks like before committing. A couple practical considerations about that list. Number one, attend the membership class as soon as you can when you arrive. It's the number one greatest place for you to learn about what the church believes, right? So don't delay in that. Find it, find it on the schedule, go ask for it if they have one, and get there as soon as you can. That way you can hear, and then you can ask questions. It's just the fastest way to do it. It doesn't mean you have to join the church, but it's one of the fastest ways to get the peek behind the curtain, if you will. Which, by the way, visitors, if you're with us, really happy you're here. We're glad you're visiting with us. We're glad you're even in this class. I'm glad you're here. We have a membership class. If you'd like to more know about that, we'd love to talk to you about that. It's upstairs on the fourth floor, like we talked about in the beginning. So that's a good thing for you to consider as well. Or another practical consideration on the website. Consider the sermons. Almost everybody posts sermons these days, right? So as you scroll through there, consider the sermons. What sort of preaching, and Mike was talking about this, what sort of preaching occurs? Is it primarily topical preaching? Okay, if it is topical preaching, does it still get into the text, right? Or is it expositional preaching, where they go verse by verse through the Bible? What's the current series they're in? You know, how long have they been going through these series? Well, one of the most encouraging things is to get on a website and just see, like, they've been going at it for 12 years, right? Or 15 years or 20 years, right? I was thinking about this and, like, you know, Piper's Church Bethlehem was like 15 years in Romans. That might not be encouraging, but like, but like 15 years in Romans, maybe that is. I love Romans, so maybe 15 years in Romans would be great. But you know what I mean. Like, so get on there and just see and sample a few, that kind of thing. Take a membership booklet home. Oh, well, which leads me to this thing. So I brought a whole stack of our membership booklets for you. So this is an excellent resource. If you're a member of our church and you've either misplaced this or you don't have one, just caveat, if you have one at home, please don't take an extra one. But if you need an extra one, that's fine. If you want to give it to a friend, I've actually taken one and given it to a friend as well. So it's just chock full of great information. The statement of faith, the church covenant, how we think about missions, how we think about community, what we think about discipleship. Yeah, Kira. Yeah. Yeah. They were updated. Most of it is a facelift, but the content is generally the same. Updated, I think July, summer of 2023 was the update. So if you have one that's old, come get a new one. Okay? Come grab a new one. I love this book. I've taken it with me all over the world. I've referenced it so many times. It's actually turned into like a quick reaction kind of checklist thing for me, which is an old term for like, if I'm in trouble, I need to figure something out, and I just open it up and I see it. And there's appendix, all the shepherd statements are in here. It's just been really, really, it served my soul and my family's soul really well throughout the years. So there's a little selfish plug for that booklet. If you'd like one, go ahead and grab one after class today. Okay, at this point, I'll just pause. Any of we talked about thus far, any helpful comments or suggestions in related to what we've been talking about that you also have experienced that you want to share real quick? Yeah, Lyle. Yeah.
Like, let me get you on the phone with him. And so before we had even been here, this connection through the churches and this church, I mean, for those who are members, we all see it all the time on the email list. And for those who are members here, just the conversations within the church with the elders and with fellow members have just been so, so crucial. And like the Church of Boston, we found from a connection from our church in Chicago. So anyway, just to plug, like your current local church as incredible and wonderful resource in finding the next one.
Yeah. Yeah, just to tap on that a little bit more, I think so if you're like, you're sitting here like, why in the world are we talking about this? I think this sets us up to leave well. We're embracing as Delray Baptist Church, we turn over quite a bit. One of the things we recognize is that people come into the DC area not to stay for a long time, which doesn't chide those who are staying for a long time. We love you guys. But for those that are coming and going, military assignments, you know, government assignments, that kind of stuff, we just recognize we have like limited time with you. We want to equip you to leave well. Like that's on our hearts. And so what he's saying is absolutely right. So like, leave well here. One of the things that means is let us know you're leaving, and let us help you find a church in that area. And if, you know, I've even received emails where it's like, hey, I'm moving to this place in the summer. Here's four churches that I have looked at that I think I'm going to visit when I go in March. Can you give me any of your, like, any updates or anything about these churches? Do you know anything about them? And we can come back and be like, yeah, this one is excellent. Like, that pastor, et cetera, right? So that just, that is a resource there for you and equips you to go from here to serve other churches. We want to send you out well to go serve other churches if that's, you know, the way the Lord has your path of life working on. So I think it's an excellent, excellent point. For the sake of time, because of that point, okay, Bob, I can't say no to you. Bob, go ahead.
So this is all great. Don't misunderstand
what
I'm saying.
Yeah.
However, for 25 years I was in the Army, and 20 of those years, Debbie and I were married. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times first off, you don't have a choice. You're going there.
Right.
So
right.
You're looking. You're right. Constantly looking. Right. And in some of those cases, it's difficult to find.
That's right.
Or you're not able to find.
And that's right.
There have been multiple times where we attended chapel because chapel was the best place to find the fellowship.
That's right.
So the one thing missing in your number two, investigating yourself, is also don't forget to ask God, why am I going here?
Yeah.
Maybe you have this job for us to be a light in a place that's kind of a shady light.
Good.
Or may not be a strong light or whatever.
For sure.
And that's also an important consideration as you look to God to say, where should I go? Don't forget that sometimes God's sending you to the wilderness.
That's right.
Because he needs you there.
That's right. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and I've been there. Chapel for 3 years in Japan. Like, that's a real thing. That's a really encouraging point, brother. I really appreciate that. Absolutely. And sometimes you have to go. And I totally understand that. And I think this, with the question, I think what this is hitting at, the entire course, if you look back at like the titles we're going to go through, I think by the end of it, I think what you're going to find is you're going to be equipped to make that kind of triage decision well when you arrive, because we all do. And I have, my wife and I have many times, as have you, of like, okay, well, I can't get all the things I want, right? Or I can't get those elements I want, and I have to choose. And so, yeah, for sure, sometimes you choose, if you're military, you choose chapel, and you say, I'm going to be part of this community to speak into some lives, for sure. So, yeah, you want to balance some of those things out. That's good. Thank you, Bob. Okay, number three, be observant at its gatherings. Be observant at its gatherings. What does the church say about what it does on Sunday during the main gathering, and what does it not say about what it doesn't do, right? So we'll be observant at its gatherings. Just for the sake of time, I'm going to read Acts 2, 42. No class is complete about church without Acts 2, 42. You all know that. So here we go again. It's good to remind ourselves. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Now, specifically in Acts 2:42, we talk about a lot of things, but one thing that we don't necessarily, maybe the lens we want to put on, the glass we want to put on, what are they doing, right, when they gather? There's teaching. There's fellowship. There's breaking of bread, which would be, we understand, the Lord's Supper, and there's prayer. So there's some elements we want to see as we observe the gathering of the church. Or Colossians 3:16-17. Colossians 3:16-17 says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the God the Father through him." So we should see in this text, we should see teaching and admonishing each other in wisdom, not Sunday morning, but that should be present. Well, teaching for sure. Singing psalms. We should see singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. We should see it be sung with thankfulness. You know, what ways does that church sing, right? With their hearts to God. And where can you come in and sing well in that church? Whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks. Is a heart of gratitude and service towards others, is it evident as well? One of the common phrases in this idea is, what you win them with is what you win them to. Have you heard that before? What does that mean? Can somebody just kind of, what you win them with is what you win them to. Somebody help us understand that. Yeah, Caleb. Yeah, yeah. So did you hear, so if you're drawing people in with things, what you draw them in with, that's what you'll keep them with, right? So if the things, if there's a lot of things, he used the word trivial, I don't think I would agree with that, some things that are just peripheral, is that the only thing, right? Is it not supplemented with content or with things of fruit or the word being preached, you know, well? I think... I think it potentially could look that way. I'm not trying to paint churches in that particular light necessarily in all those ways, but we do want to be discerning as we say, like, what is this church about, and is it one-sided in one direction or the other? I want to be charitable to all that, right? So what kind of marks the gatherings? Is the word of Christ dwelling richly? Is there teaching and fellowship? Do they pray? Do they take the Lord's Supper? Some churches I've been a part of, they take the Lord's Supper once a quarter. Some churches say once every 6 months. That might just be something you want to know as far as your conviction of when and how often the Lord's Supper needs to be taken. And here we take it twice a month. What matters to the church? Is it short or long services? Is there multi-services? How many songs? What kind of songs or hymns? Are they both sides, right? Do the hymns relate to the sermon or do they not? Are they completely disconnected? Do they have that narrative arc? Does the church pray corporately? It's one of the things I've been more and more convicted about, is just our churches praying together corporately and publicly together on the Sunday morning? Or is it just merely a transitional, is prayer just a transitional element to go from, you know, one thing to the next in the service, right? And then we're going to have a whole class on ordinances, so I'll leave that there. And then lastly, kind of what's missing on Sunday mornings. So what's there, but then some of the things that's really helpful to consider is like what was not there? Right? What are the things that weren't present that maybe should be, right? Cool. That's number three. Number four, let's finish this up for you. Number four, engage with members. Number four, engage with the members. So what we mean by this is, are the people of that church growing? What marks them? Now, again, caveat this all with what Bob said earlier, right? Sometimes we go into contexts and we need to do some ministry and some work, and God's calling us to love and serve. And maybe encourage. That's one of the contexts we were in our previous location, was it was a young pastor that took over of a somewhat dying church that went through a whole division based off of a renovation. And they hired this new pastor because the other ones left, the church divided. And this new pastor was maybe about 35 or 36 years old, and he was preaching the word faithfully. It was a small 15-person church. We went because he was preaching faithfully, and we wanted to encourage him. We wanted to be with him and encourage the saints there and say, let's press on. Let's listen to this word, and let's grow. Let's be, you know. So there are times where that is obviously. So engage with the members there as well. Can somebody look up 1 Peter 4, 9 through 11? Somebody volunteer for 1 Peter 4, 9 through 11? Bob, thanks. While you're looking that up, I'm going to read Hebrews 10, 24 to 25. And I want you to listen to this through the lens of engaging with one another. How do the members talk to one another? How do they interact with one another? Okay, not just about going to church. Right? We always, Hebrews 10, 24 to 25, we should go to church, right? But how do they go to church, right? So here's Hebrews 10, 24 to 25. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. Not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. What should, based on that verse, as you engage with members, what should you see? What should you hear? Encouragements, for sure. We should be an encouraging body. We should be encouraging one another, right? Good. What else? Good. I love that. More how are yous rather than who are you. Meaning, yeah, like, what's your, yes, I know what you're saying on that. But, like, get into how are you doing, right? How's it going? That's good. Stirring one another up to love and good works. What would that look like amongst members? Stirring one another up. to love and good works. Certainly it means encouragement. What else would that look like? Okay, yeah, maybe you find a friend and you help each other volunteer in the church. Good, in children's ministry. What else? How about in conversation with members, looking for opportunities to stir that person up in response to the things that are going on in their lives, to love and good works. And right then and there, just going, hey, thank you for sharing that. Can we pray together real quick? Lord, would just help that and bless that. Good. Who had 1 Peter 4, 9 through 11?
1 Peter 4, verses 9 through 11, show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks the oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. So what does 1 Peter 4, 9 through 11 tell us about what we should see in our members? Just shout it out.
Hospitality.
Hospitality. Hospitality corporately. So a corporate understanding, almost like I'm going to dare to say institutionally corporate understanding of hospitality, welcoming visitors in, making them feel welcome. You're welcome here. We're glad you're here. You know, going out of your way to say hi to them, right? Inviting them in, good. Hospitality individually and with your family, good as well. What else?
Fellowship.
Fellowship. Right? Good fellowship. Good. What else?
A reliance on God. Everything and all of these strengths are because God has supplied it.
I think that shows in humility in conversation and a turning toward and thanking God in conversation. Does that mark our conversation, right? Like, the Lord's given me this. So thankful for what the Lord's doing in this. This is a hard season, but the Lord's given us many blessings, right? Good. There's more we could say, I think, on these as we think about engaging with those members. Lastly and quickly, fifth, ask questions of the elders. Ask questions of the elders. This is one I think is somewhat overlooked. I think the other four, I think you're kind of like, yeah, I'm tracking along. Make a point to get on the calendar of one of them and get lunch, get coffee, have them over for dinner or something, get to know them. Acts 20, 28 through 30 says, this is talking about from Paul to elders. So he's commanding elders. So listen to this as what elders should be doing with the flock, and therefore as you talk to elders, what you should be hearing. Pay careful attention to yourselves, to the elders, to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock, and from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. So the elders are to pay careful attention. So as you are conversing with them, ask them questions. How is the flock? How is the church? What are the strengths of the church? What sort of things do you see that you would want to fan into flame all the more? What are some things that are the weaknesses of the church? What are some things that we need to grow in, right? What are some things that need some attention and some care? Protecting the flock, the fierce wolves, right? From both without and within, okay? So number five, ask questions. Sit down with an elder or a church leader and ask questions, right? Dig into that. So there's hopefully some five things that might be helpful for you as you consider what it means to not only attend this church well and plug into this church, but also as you might go. Some final practical considerations. So there's some final kind of application things for you to help drive some of these things home. The first thing is a word to those young in the room who are looking at potentially leaving the home for maybe a college or already you're at college as you go. These are really important things. These are good things to have. And I'm actually so glad you're sitting here, because I actually wish, if I were to rerun the tapes, I was sitting in a class like this. back when I was going through high school and thinking about college. I would have loved to be able to think about these things a little bit, better than I had. Because I went in and I think I personally, this, my experience is not your experience, but I just think these are important things to consider. And I went in and just kind of went with whatever, the church was there on campus. I was like, oh, let's go, right? And maybe even in some of my time, Campus Crusade, a good parachurch ministry, was eclipsed for me what the local church actually was. And I look back and I go, I really should have got involved in a local church. So those going out the door to college soon, or going to university, or maybe you're staying local, but maybe you're going across the country, we encourage you, by the way, to go and commit to, in membership, a good church where we can help you find one wherever that university is, wherever that college is. Even if you're going for, you're like, I'm only there for 9 months, I'm coming back. Yes, but that's 9 months versus a summer, right, of 3 months. So we want you to be plugged in and having that kind of accountability. So that's a good application, I think, for some of us in the room. For members, I know this probably serves more as just a good reminder than anything else for you to consider some of the elements to probably reinvestigate in some of these things or to get to know. Maybe there's some areas about our church that you're like, I would really need to learn more about this. I really need to learn more about how we think about missions well, or how we think about the ordinances, or what really is on my statement of faith, right? So maybe we grab one of these and we dust it off and we open it back up. One way to do that, I love working the statement of faith, all the articles, into my quiet time once a year if I can. Just read the statement of faith, one article, and then there's 20 texts after that, right? Whoever wrote that thing, put like a million texts after that. They're all great texts that you can work that out in your quiet time. If once a year is not frequent enough, like maybe, once every week, Saturday, for example, you do one article and some of the texts to prepare your heart or your family's heart for arriving at church on Sunday morning. Maybe that's one way to apply this. They function, these statement of faith, they function a lot like catechisms to just remind us and train our minds and our hearts to have reactionary, habitual thoughts about what we think about God, the Trinity, sin, salvation, all these things, right? Good, that's one way. And maybe the church covenant. I was in a church, visiting a church once recently, and they recited the church covenant, and I sat behind a woman, a middle-aged woman, and she said it with a smile on her face from memory. I was so encouraged. Talking to her afterwards, she was like, I've been saying this church covenant for 30 years, and I love it. Maybe you work that into your quiet time, right? And just remind yourselves of the things you've committed yourself to as you have signed the covenant and joined this church. So there's some thoughts for members. Also, here's a great thing to work into your family plan as well. When you go on vacation, I would just go, Sunday is a day of just vacation day. Again, I don't think you're wrong for doing that. I'm not saying that. But maybe consider, as you go on vacation, before, as you're planning stages, not just what you're going to do to vacation, but also, are there any churches in that area that you can join in and be encouraged by and encourage others? I'm coming from, Alexandria, Virginia. The saints welcome you, and encourage them. So consider, setting a little bit of Sunday morning time. And if you can't do that, maybe do it with your family, maybe in the hotel room or something like that. Just go through the word a little bit together. Again, not wrong to take a Sunday off, and I'm not saying that for sure. But maybe consider that into your vacations. It's been very fruitful for our family as we go. And then one other practical application as you go, if you visit other churches as a members of this church, if you visit a church, contact them a few days ahead and be like, hey, what are you preaching through on Sunday? And prepare yourself to hear that word being preached on Sunday. That's such an encouraging thing when people contact us and they're like, hey, we're visiting with you. I think you're going through like John. Like, what part are you in? Like, we're in John 4 and we're doing these verses and it's been really great and here's some things to listen for. Like, that's so encouraging for both them and for us as we welcome in. So just some helpful practical things for you that I hope can serve you as you consider this morning. So that is all I have. Any final questions or comments or thoughts before I close in prayer? If you have questions that you want to come up and afterwards and and talk. I'm sure there's things I could have said, so if you have other things that you want to highlight, that'd be helpful too. Okay, well, let me pray. Lord, thank you for your church. Thank you for the bride of Christ. Thank you that is plan A for bringing the gospel to all the nations and to our nation and to our city and to our homes. We pray, Lord, that we would love Jesus all the more, and that our hearts this morning, as we listen to the word, as we sing songs together corporately with one voice, as we pray the word, and as we take part in the Lord's Supper, that our hearts would be stirred up in our affection to love Jesus, and that by loving Jesus all the more, we would appreciate and love and mind the depths of the riches of the gospel, and by so doing, also fall in love with the bride of Christ and love each other well. Make us and mark us as a people who love Christ and love your church. Help us as we think about these things. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.